So, welcome. Yesterday I made us aware that our way to act, behave, to respond to life and the situations in life is on one hand based on our cultural training, our ways we have been trained to do, and on the other hand, it depends on our spiritual development. And I gave you the experience, the example of the Parisienne and Thich Nhat Hanh. I found a sentence which just sums that in a certain way up, and it says, you cannot change your mind by a changed lifestyle. Just behave differently. Just to walk slowly and put your spoon down when you eat doesn't do anything to your mind. It is behavior. It does not lead to a change of mind. And the other part of that sentence would say, the change of your mind leads naturally to a different way to behave. So the importance and the key is to change the mind. And I would call it a development, a process. That is what we come here for, what the Buddha has inspired us to go, the process out of a narrow, conditioned, survival mode mind into a non-conditioned, open, wide, clear mind. And I always look at different aspects of that. And yesterday it was an aspect, don't ever think that changing your behavior will do anything. It may be a bit of a disappointment. Now you have learned to walk slowly, to eat what you call in mindfulness, and so on and so on. But my experience here over the many, many years is, though people doing all that, they still are the same. So we do have to understand, what do we mean with mind? And why is mind so important? So I will not go in long and excursus about the philosophy of mind and all these kind of ideas Dalai Lama has about that. I simply make us aware that we here as a biological structure, as a body, are always in contact with something which we call the environment. I'm always here and there is something outside of me. And as this biological system, I have to find out what to do with that. Any situation, you hear me so often saying that, any situation is only asking us, what do you do with me? So, this, what do you do with me? We have for that, by our culture, a certain set of presets, you know, this kind of ready-made whatever. I always call it a kind of a toolbox, left, right, handbook. And you come into a situation, oh, wait. Ah, this one. It might work or it might not work. It doesn't matter, you try it again, because you only have learned that. And that way to do things, to act, is the mind, the whole structure, filled, a mental structure, filled with all these beliefs and ideas and whatever. So there are a content out of which you behave or act, and a certain set of behaviors. When that is so, and I would like to have it this way, I get to this toolbox. So we have a behavior, an action, an acting toolbox, and a mental toolbox, so to say. And we always get out of that. That is our mind. So this mind has, first of all, a cultural background, or it's based on cultural. You act and behave and think differently when you are raised and trained in Italy than in North America, for example. But at the same time, it depends on your spiritual development. It depends on which level you are living. That is what I yesterday showed us in the example of Thai, where you can very clearly see he is a Vietnamese. Believe me, I have been around him. He's a Vietnamese. He loves to sit on the floor and drink green tea. I would not do that. And so on and so on. But when you're around him, he acts and behaves out of a different level, so to say. You see, all these ideas and and beliefs and all these things, we call them thoughts, a kind of a mental activity in which we say, ah, it is this, and I should do that, and hopefully this one, and so on and so on. So this whole process keeps on processed in order to look for a solution, what to do. It seems it's only culture, but it's not. Very simple. When you, in a certain situation, do have the impression, for whatever past experience or so, that you're in danger, your whole system, your thoughts, the solution, looking for solution, what to do and how to behave, depends on that, so to say, realization. you have certain thoughts depending on that idea or view that you are in danger. Please have a look. Your thoughts do depend on a kind of a general view on the situation. But if another person, maybe just sits next to you, perceives this situation not as dangerous, there is no relating past experience to that. They don't have the thoughts. So don't think thoughts are just like that. They depend on your general level of consciousness. When you are in a situation where you just don't find the solution, you know, any tool doesn't work. It's a totally new situation. And whatever you do, whatever tool you go to, you know, I'm always going left and right, you know, it doesn't work. You go crazy. This mind is made for solutions, for nothing else. You know, if it does not have a solution, it goes mad. It tries to find out what to do. I yesterday mentioned this mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. They go into that in length, and it's just what people don't realize. They do think thinking is thinking. No, it's not. It depends on your general attitude for the situation. You have quite different thoughts when you kind of crazy try to find out what to do. And you have quite different thoughts and almost no thoughts when you right away know what to do. Clear? Understood? So don't ask me how to get rid of thoughts. Thoughts depending on your general attitude. Let's say, and Thai definitely has that, if you're in any crowd of people, feel safe. You are not in danger. You don't reject them. Then you almost have no thoughts, or at least happy ones. Bhagwan always used to say, when a stranger comes in the room, always imagine it's an old friend. You haven't seen him for years, so you don't remember. But it is an old friend. So you would right away, by this simple different attitudes toward that person, have different ideas and different thoughts and different behaviors. And believe me, so often, more than often, people come in the house, they come to me, Carl, and they hug me. And what I do? I say, ah, it's you. I don't know who that is. You know, I don't remember anything. Later I go to Helga, she remembers it. Do you remember that person? And the most difficult situation we have both when she doesn't remember. You see. Then what to do? I stick to the point to say it's an old friend. Otherwise, I would be cautious and not knowing what this person is for and whether they will be friendly or not. So I had different thoughts. Clear? Yeah? So our thinking, our thoughts, our ways to act depend on another level. And that level is called attitudes. Ways, let's say you have the general attitude to respect another person. You will act differently. You will right away have different solutions, so to say, as if you don't have this attitude, but you have the attitude everybody is dangerous. You have had this experience maybe now in this time where everybody is infected and will infect you. So everybody is dangerous. Is it so? So you have a quite different mental structure. You behave differently. You think differently, you know. We never had that up here, you know. I've never been afraid that someone comes in and says, "No, you get it." You see? Never had that, you know. So we always had a good time here. Some friends came up, sat with us and practiced, and went on. So, when you want to find out what to do with these thoughts, go to that level where the thoughts come from. Because there you could change. Or better to say, you need to change. You cannot change the thoughts. They have a source. They have something where they come from. A certain way to look at things. And generally, it's called attitude. So, Thay has a different attitude, a different way to be. And out of that, he thinks differently, he behaves differently. He always comes out of at least a friendly mind. But do you now get it? To have a friendly mind depends on a different way to be. So where we want to head to is to regard everyone as a human being, irrespective where he comes from and what he does. And because of that, your mind is different. You have a certain mind, a different mind anyway, and relating to life, you have a different mind. I hope it's now clear. When I constantly say, don't invite your thoughts for a cup of tea. Because then you are engaged with the outcome of something and you cannot do anything about it. You have to go down to the source, so to say. And that is our practice. That is what we are here for. To come to a new way of looking at life. A new and different way to relate to life. And because of that, you have a different way to behave, to act, and to think. Monica, give me a break. whatever people have developed, which we call culture or anything else, it is to sustain our body and to keep us alive, wherever we are, depending on the environment. But it's a basic purpose for this structure. And wherever you go, and whatever structure it is, how different it is only there to sustain this body and keep it alive. And over the 100,000 of years, human beings had been in that environment and had to struggle to survive and sustain. We have built up a rather complex structure, mental structure, a quite difficult structure. But again, it is there to help us to be alive. And this whole structure has become automatic. It is part of this being alive. You cannot wait until the lion would tell his name to you, or whatever, you know. You have to act in most of the times right away, especially in those times when humanity built up this structure. It was a dangerous environment with wild animals and whatsoever. So we have learned that this whole mental structure is kind of an automatic survival system. And even if you're not anymore in danger like that, we behave automatic. We behave right away. The term for this is reactive. We react right away. Something is happening, and even if it's such a minor thing, we immediately go up. Reactive. And because of this reactivity, we always get to this structure, which is at times not very skillful. This reaction leads to fighting and irritation and so on and so on. But that is where we all come from, and where the majority of human beings are still in. Unconscious, reactive, and so on. And please be aware, however far you might believe you are in your spiritual development, if you really run into a survival mode situation, you react. You immediately go down to the basic behavior. You might afterwards be surprised, but now I have practiced now for so many years, I should behave different. No, it's not true. Your whole system runs into this survival mode and you react. So, the first way to get out of that is what we call consciousness. Because this structure, this reactivity is almost unconscious. It's not unconscious in that sense that we don't know what to do. It's automatic. It's automatic pilot. It's reactivity. If we want to get out of that a little bit, nature has us human beings given the greatest gift we have, consciousness. A certain mind which is not filled with that structure. A kind of a, it's called a clear, open, non-tainted, it says, not, you know, blurred by rejection and having. This mind, which is not now a mind, which is just a faculty, it's a potential, is the only way, it's the first step, as I said the other day, the first step on the bridge. And if we train ourselves, if we practice that experience, this faculty, this potential of the mind grows. And more you catch yourself before you get to the tool, you might still kind of, you know, it's still kind of, you know, this one, but you don't do it. Maybe you wait 5 minutes and then you shoot. But anyway, there is the experience, and that is the most important point. The experience of the strength, the mental strength, not to react. And I'm not saying, so then we are out of everything. It just says, not right away, not more, you know. But that is the beginning. Because when you're in that consciousness, the Buddha called it sati, the non-filled mental structure, the clear mind. When you're in that, there is nothing of that structure you normally live in. I have mentioned that several times, and it's a basic approach from Thay to get out of these ideas and thoughts just for this moment of, I don't need to react. So there is something which gives me a space. I'm not saying now we know what to do. You know, we still haven't found something else. That's why I mentioned the other day Sang Sunim, who says, don't know. But still you don't know what to do, you know? So that is why in the beginning people are getting a bit, impatient. Now you ask me not to react, and then? But I'm in a situation, I should do something. Is it clear? Where we are get? You know, it's in the beginning. When you play piano, you know, you get this kind of hand-finger trainings. You would ask me after 5 minutes, and what's next? 5 minutes more, that's all. It's a process. Don't ask for a result. Now, what we are doing here, and it is so difficult for us Western people, we are so impatient. By nature, by culture, We want to see results right away. But it's like someone tells you up there, 5 kilometers up there, it's a wonderful peak. You should go there. It's marvelous from there. The vista is mind-blowing. It's wonderful, huh? But you're here. And you have never gone up a mountain. So you might go some 100 meters and you're dead tired, you know. And you wait for the next hut to sit down or a bench or whatever. That's our way. That's how we start. And that is why we always need, and most Buddhist teachers are really into that. They give us this kind of, you have to go and you will reach and enlightenment in this life and I don't know what. It's fine, but don't believe them. It's just inspiration. You're still down there, you know. That's all. You have to practice. That is what is my experience. I've been here with people who had stayed here for even years, did the practice as good as they could, and left in the same way as before. And there's nobody to blame. Really not. You are so stuck in this survival mode, in this, nowadays the new word is traumas. Everybody has a trauma now. Just as an excuse you can't change, or whatever, you know. So you get stuck. And you do believe just because you're in that environment, things will change. No. At times, Thay was disappointed. He put so much emphasis on the environment, you know. Once you're in that, you'll change. Which, in a way, is correct. You are with people who have a different mind, who have a different view, they behave different in a certain way, it might inspire you. But it could also get you a bit irritated that you can't do it this way. And so you better go. You can't handle this, enlightened people, you know. Even Thay once said, you would not be able to live close to an enlightened person. You go crazy, because they behave so different, yet you don't know who they are. Mad people, that's all. And on top of it, if you don't really have an experience, if you only do things, nothing is really happening. I remember one day Thay was in a Dharma talk, almost angry. He never is really angry, but he got really straight. Someone left the community, a monk, after 5 years being in Plum Village. And Thay really got straight and said, what have you done in these 5 years and you are still in pain, in suffering? What have you done here? In 5 years you should have overcome your suffering. He didn't. Nobody is to blame. It is just, here we are. And we need to look into that. To see things does not say that there is an insight. If you say yes, 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 okay, yeah, you are right. Yes. There is no birth and no death. It's clear, yeah, sure, okay, everybody says yes. Thay says so, so it is like that. But it doesn't say anything to our experience, nothing at all. Only if you feel the deep insight that, yeah, that's true. That changes your approach. And it is possible. I know it is possible. So we begin with slowly raising that, what we call consciousness, a certain mind which does not have this structure, which is clear, open, it's called radiant, and so on and so on. We have it right away. If we would not have it, we could not develop it. It doesn't come because we go through the woods. It is inside of. But it is a potential. And that makes us human beings. And then slowly, slowly, we develop. Now, the first realization is that you understand and you realize you have an insight that you're caught in a structure. That is always said, the first step out into freedom. If you say, my goodness, yeah, can you imagine? I just react, and I don't know who is that. That's good. That's the most important thing. Okay? And it is so subtle that you have to catch yourself. You get angry for some minor things. What for? You couldn't get back. You couldn't stay. You reacted right away. And it's good to at least afterwards say, ooh-hoo, I'm obviously reacting. I could behave different. I just needed to wait for a minute and then do something different. Instead of yelling at someone, I could stop and turn away and just say, okay, have fun with it. You know, there are already now different ways. Then, the second is, you open up a little bit to the environment, you know. The first begin is we are closed, narrow, into our mind. You know, whatever is happening, we look at it from our point of view, a very narrow mind. The term for that is egocentricity. We are centered around that. And most of the time we are like that. But we have come to close to people who are not only that. That is the next step. We open up and do see there are other people, there are other animals, there is something different, and I can open up my intent, no, what is it, to enlarge my, let's say, my worldview. I belong maybe to this family or to this group of people. Hmm? And that is called ethnocentricity, ethnocentric. And most or many people in the West are like that. The football club, or the nation, and the group, and the guru, and this, you know, all these kind of things, the church, you know. You have already opened up. You are not only very close. You're already a little bit up. There is another one who is a human being. Hmm? But still, you are narrow. And it takes another step to realize, really, another is another human being. It is not just my family. It is another human being. Even if he is or she is black and I don't know what, you open up even a little bit more. And you have gone through these stages, kind of being closed, egocentric. Now you are ethnocentric, basically. You are happy to be in a group, you know. But it might be then, when someone comes in, a kind of a guy from Ghana or Kenya, you know, you might look and say, who is that? What are they doing here, you know? Is he a fan of Thich Nhat Hanh or what? Hmm? And if he is not, you don't feel comfortable. Hmm? It is for us Westerners here, I catch myself often when I now down to Freyung, which is a rather white population, eh? Catholic Christians white, middle class. Hmm? And now since 2 or 3 years we have these youngsters and people from, I don't know, Kenya or whatever, you know. And they walk different, they behave different, they have different clothes and so on and so on. And I catch my often say, yeah. It says, okay, why not? You know. But still, there is this little bit. Hmm? That needs a bit of a practice to open up the mind and feel this getting closed, to have a kind of narrow vision, you know. And then the next step comes up, and that is called global centricity, or what is it? Global, whatever, you know. Okay. A global transformation, a global consciousness. And you do realize, but really it's a kind of an insight having, everything is sustaining me. I am part of the whole. If they don't, wouldn't be there, I am not here. And at the same time, I am the whole because everybody makes the whole. That is called Intersein. But it's not necessary to do that. It is just a realization that we are members of the whole and the whole is us. And you easily, when you hear me saying, yes, it's clear. It's very clear, sure. No. I've read that so many times. And then, is it really? Yes, sure. It is like that. You know. The most important, the proof that we have realized that is this body is an element of what we call life. So it has an end, beginning and end. As all life has a beginning and end. Is that something I said, not only say yes? No birth and no death, and so we are wonderful? No, no. It just, the end is coming. And it's something you say, yeah, sure. Sure, it needs to come. There's no point to give it any thought. And you will catch yourself at that point to say, no, 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 this should not happen. You know, no. And we find out any ideas that we survive somehow. Another kind of mental structure. It doesn't help us. We still die, you know. So give all that a bit of consideration of looking into, give it some thoughts, and let it sink. And it's all based on consciousness. We slowly, slowly open up. We slowly, slowly see more. And slowly, slowly our insight is growing. That is why today in the modern Western Buddhism it's so much emphasis on consciousness, on mindfulness, on sati, or however you like to call it. It's a basic way that we cultivate a mind which does not have this structure. And this cultivated mind then has a different level, has different attitudes, has different ways to look at life and behave differently. Okay? Tomorrow I will tell you that we still have another force, which is as important as consciousness. Another kind of mental force, a mental strength, a mental structure, like we have it consciousness. We do have another one too, which is as important as consciousness. And the term I like to use is empathy, caring. That is what makes us human beings, which sets us absolutely apart from any other animal, from the very beginning. We have to look into that. Because at times, this is even more important than consciousness. Sometimes empathy is a beginning and consciousness is the following, and the vice versa. So in these days, I have, in a traditional way, and for me, most important, inspired you into this awareness way, in this consciousness way. And it's because it's easy to practice. And it's easy to practice wherever you are. Empathy has a quite different way. But consciousness, you can even sit on your cushion and train yourself just to be aware. If you train yourself, maybe with these guided meditations, not to be distracted, but to stay, and then have the experience, now I am present. When you have that experience, no thought whatsoever will come up in your mind. Naturally, is it so? So we can realize this. That's why the meditation is so well known and so looked after, because you can practice and raise consciousness. But you cannot raise empathy of the cushion. That's a different story. And so, however the Dalai Lama and Thay talk about them, it's a different story to cultivate them. So we'll look into that tomorrow. Now you have heard five times me talking about the same thing. I can't help.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Pat.